This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
They keep it on the ground. Ball is out, but it's fumbled right to a Cavalier. He's got a full out of steam. 20, 15, 10, goodbye. Touchdown, Carlinville, as Connor Emmons picked up the fumble and rumbled into the end zone for the touchdown. Holy smokes, what a start to the game.
Diego will hand it off to Dixon. Oh, Jacob Dixon, a stiff arm in midfield. Another stiff arm at the Greenville 40. He cuts back at the 20. Goodbye, touchdown, Jacob Dixon. Sensational. 41-6, Carlinville.
And it was that type of night for the Cavies last evening as they built a 35-0 lead before they won it going away, 56-26 over the Greenville Comets. And for Carlinville, big-time bounce-back win after the home loss the week prior to Vandalia. David, there was never a doubt last night. Carlinville rushed for over 530 yards.
Yeah, and really took the pressure off of senior quarterback Chandler Sego, who had a bit of a rocky game the previous week and didn't have to worry about it this week because the running game handled it all.
And we talked about, before the season even started, how Carlinville just always has a number of running backs that they can rely on. And this year, they've got a nice three-headed monster with Jacob Dixon, Brady Eaglehoff, and Dylan Chisholm. And last night, all three of them, well over 100 yards. And
the
joining
Chisholhoff.
Us on the phone, yeah, Chisholhoff, as Carl coined it last night. The combination of all of them, it might as well just be one big monster back. And that's probably what it seemed like last night to Greenville as Carlinville rushes for over 530 yards. And Chad Easterday, the head coach of Carlinville, joining us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. And yourself?
I cannot complain. What a game last night. You get a 35-0 lead on Greenville. But, Chad, what I want to know is, how long did it take you to draw up that first play of the game where he handed to Chisholm, you tell him to fumble forward right to Emmons, and he can just run it in for the touchdown? Brilliance.
I tell you what, I told the kids after the game, I said, you know, last week didn't go our way, and most of that was our own fault a little bit. And I said, we needed a break. Mm-hmm. I said, we deserved one after last week. I said, it was kind of nice to see one fall in our hands this week.
And, Chad, as a broadcast, when I see that happen, I think, you know, maybe it's Carlinville's night. Does that creep into your mind as the head coach of the football team?
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, after last week, we, you know, the first week without Walton, and I think that was an adjustment period for all of us, including myself. And, you know, our offense had to take a little different flavor, I think, than what it started in the off season. So I think our kids did a great job of adjusting this week, and we went to more back to our old traditional wing T type style running plays a little bit mixed in with our no huddle, and you know, the kids did a great job with it.
Extremely effective, well over 500 yards rushing. You have three backs over 100 yards, and Chad, when you see those types of numbers, that means your offensive line did about as good as you could hope for.
Yeah, you know, very proud of them last night. I thought they controlled Greenville up front, and I think our two wide receivers who had a pretty good idea that they were going to get the ball thrown to them a lot this year, and they did this an outstanding job on the flank blocking with Brady Jamison and Connor Emmons. So, you know, I it's one of those resiliency things we preached about all week, you know, let it go about last week and just, you know, you have to show up and you have to play.
Chad, you call it resiliency, but it's a chip on the shoulder, man. That's what you're talking about here, right?
Yeah, you know, nobody likes to get smacked in the mouth like we did last week, and I told the kids, you know, we got a tough week. We had a tough week at Greenville. We got Greenville, got a powerhouse, got Pain of the following week. I said, what are you going to do? If you're going to lay down and die, then let me know, and I guess I'll lay down with you, but I probably won't be very happy about it. I said, you know, just get up, and like you said, have a little chip on your shoulder, be a little aggressive, and good things will happen to you.
Yeah. And I thought Dylan Chisholm kind of personified that for you last night. He fumbled the first snap, it obviously worked out, but then on the very next defensive series, Chad, Chisholm made, I think, three or four huge defensive plays right in a row.
Yeah, I mean, he just had a phenomenal night. I mean, you know, and when you're in a spread offense and you're the third back behind Dixon and Eaglehoff, then you don't get as many touches. When you go there, I guess it's a good problem as being the head coach. I mean, we opened up new doors last night and new avenues. So, you know, for him personally, I was very excited. I don't think people realize how good of a back he could be.
Chad, you get up 35-0, but it is Greenville. So I'm sure in the back of your mind you're thinking, this is not over yet. They get the touchdown to make it 35-6, and then you guys come right back with a huge touchdown of your own.
Yeah, that was a conversation on the headset. You know, don't become complacent. Don't become, you know, don't try just to hold on. And so I was preaching to the kids on the sideline there a little bit. I said, don't think about just holding on for a win. I said, go take the win. And, you know, we came right back out, I think, six plays and popped the counter, and it went for the touchdown. So big turning point in the game, to be honest with you.
So you're 2-1 now, and on the road next week at Pena. Pena, of course, 3-0. So in a lot of ways, Chad, you've got a way to get yourself right back where you want to be in terms of the conference positioning next week.
Yeah, and you know, we talked last week, this is such a strange conference this year. You know, Pena, the scores and just the way it's all unfolding, Pena seems to be the team to beat. And, you know, we're over there. We got the freshman game before, which I think is a really neat atmosphere. We normally get a bigger crowd when that comes. And then you have the excitement of being 3-0 and 2-1. So, it'll be a huge atmosphere for us.
And, Chad, it just seems to me, Pena, they've always got a very tough and usually talented club, but that just seems to me, year after year, no matter what Pena has, that is a tough place to go in and try to get a win.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like the old going to Nokomis High School to play basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, going to Pena, you know, you're always 7 points down in the hole for some reason, and, you know, the crowd's on top of you, and it's kind of a cool environment, but it's definitely a stressful one.
Well, Chad, great win last night. Best of luck next week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And there was a moment in that game last night where Carlinville, after Dylan Chisholm got an interception, up 35-0 with the ball, had a chance to put a running clock on Greenville, which, I mean, it obviously didn't happen. But the fact that Carlinville was in a position to make that happen kind of speaks to how well they played last night. And it looks like they might have found something last evening.
Yeah, I mean, just basically, like you said earlier in the show, same thing they've been doing for years with the strong running game, and it's not any worse than it was, not any worse than it's ever been. So, I mean, they do have a tough test in front of them in Pena, but they've played Pena pretty well over the last few years, so, and Pena's beatable. I mean, they've obviously won their first three games and have won them convincingly, but Gillespie was able to hold them to 7 points in the first half. Carlinville could probably get them.
As we found out through the first 3 weeks of the high school football season, anybody on any Friday night is beatable. And that was on display last night up in northern Macoupin County as North Mac knocked off Williamsville last night by the score of 30-13, I do believe was the final. And Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, the undefeated North Mac Panthers, joining us on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach. How are you today?
Feel pretty good today, guys. How are you guys doing?
We are excellent. I can't imagine we're doing any better than you and your kids are, though. Describe the locker room atmosphere last night after that huge win over Williamsville.
Well, it was something that the kids have been working really, really hard for all summer long. This was a monkey that not only us but everybody else in the conference had been unable to get off their backs. And last night we were able to do some good things, and defensively we played very, very well. And we finally got that streak ended that Williamsville had been running for, I think, going on 5 years now.
Shane, we've talked about how crazy the South Central Conference has been. How crazy has the Sangamo Conference been this year? You know, Auburn obviously got off to an 0-2 start before winning their first game of the year. You guys are off to a 3-0 start. Not that it's crazy, but, I mean, beating Williamsville, that's a heck of a thing.
It was, and it was something that we thought, you know, Williamsville, obviously, with the team they had last year, was very, very senior-laden. So we knew that they had lost a lot of teams or a lot of players to graduation. So we felt coming into this season that the conference was definitely going to be a lot more balanced than it had been in the past. We knew that, you know, the top teams we thought were going to come down a little bit, and we thought the teams that struggled a little bit, including ourselves, had the possibility of taking that next step up. And so far it's been pretty true to form.
Shane, has there been any one thing maybe that has surprised you about the start you guys have gotten off to this year, whether it be individually or collectively? Did we just lose Shane?
I think we lost him.
Ah, wonderful cell phones. Well, regained connection here with the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Shane Owsley, as they were victorious last night over Williamsville.
They were up 30-7 at one point. So
just flat out impressive.
Yeah. Led wire to wire, I believe. I don't think they trailed the entire game.
They haven't done much trailing all season long.
Williamsville?
Nope. North Mac.
Oh, North Mac. Yeah, they've, I mean, I don't remember who their first two opponents have been. New Berlin was one of them. I can't remember who their other opponent was, but yeah, New Berlin. I mean, they're a pretty good team as well. That Sangamo Conference, obviously, as deep as it is. So yeah, North Mac, they've got three very impressive wins on their resume.
Absolutely. So the Panthers of North Mac off to a good start. We're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. We're going to try to regain connection with head coach Shane Owsley. We will do that following these messages on Sports Saturday. Let's get back to our conversation with Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Sorry about that, Shane. We lost you there for a quick moment. But I was getting ready to ask you, is there anything about your 3-0 start that has surprised you?
Not really. I think the big thing that we were going in, basically from what we saw last year, is that we had to get our kids some confidence. You know, we talked about that last night. You know, last year when we went to Williamsville to play that team, it looked like we had been defeated before we even got off the bus. So, you know, it was something that we've been preaching. You know, if we can't believe in ourselves and what we're doing, then nobody else is going to. And we have to get rid of that doubt on whether or not we can play with the top-tier teams in the conference. And I think finally we were able to do that, and last night I think we showed it.
And, you know, talking about those types of things is one thing, but when you can go out and get the results, boy, that just makes it a lot easier for the kids to buy in.
It does, and like I said, it's something that, like I said, we've been preaching all along, and until you actually do it, you can say all you want, but, you know, actions always speak louder than words. And, you know, last year I believe our JV game with Williamsville got canceled, so we ended up playing it the end of the year. Obviously they held some guys back because they were headed to the playoffs and we were not. So we were able to, you know, take care of our business against their JV team last year, which essentially was the team we played this year minus, you know, their very, very good running back and quarterback. So I think that built some confidence in our kids and showed them that they could play with those guys. And like I said, we performed very, very well last night and the results showed it.
And Shane, you know how football goes. It doesn't matter what you did last week. Now it's all about the next game on the schedule. And it's a big one at Auburn.
It is. It's something, like I said, our kids like to call that, you know, Auburn is our rival because we're so close in location. I told them we can't call it a rivalry yet because we don't beat them. So it's going to be a situation where we have to realize, and I think we're getting them at a good time for the simple fact that, you know, we did just get the confidence from beating Williamsville. We know we're not going to look past them because they have beaten us so many times. So, like you said, it's great to celebrate last night, and we're right back here out on the field today getting ready for Auburn now.
Shane, how much fun are you having through 3 weeks?
I can't express, you know, how good it feels, you know, especially for our kids. Like I said, they took some lumps last year, starting 7 and 8 sophomores on offense and defense. So, you know, there was a learning curve, and you always kind of wonder as a coach, is this a good thing that they're, you know, we're throwing them to the wolves like this? Are they going to learn from it, or is it going to be a situation where it's going to cause them to lose confidence and lose faith in themselves? And obviously, it looks like the experience has kind of outweighed the lumps they took. And like I said, as long as we continue to take care of our business and do the things that we're capable of doing, I think it could be a very, very good year at North Mac.
Absolutely. Shane, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Congratulations on the win last night. Best of luck against Auburn on Friday. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, off to a 3-0 start. And that is a huge game, obviously, at Auburn. But, David, they actually are beginning now what is a very critical three-game stretch.
Yeah, back-to-back-to-back games. They're at Auburn, home against Pleasant Plains, and then at Athens. So
hello.
The meat of the conference right there. And if you go, they just played Williamsville yesterday. So Williamsville, Auburn, Pleasant Plains, Athens, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. I mean, that's a heck of a schedule right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those deals. You look at that before the year, think, boy, if we get out of that puppy 2-2,
yeah,
we'll be really happy about it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that changes a little bit when you start off with a win over Williamsville.
Yeah. I mean, if they want to go 2-2, they've got to go 1-2 now for the next three. But obviously they want to do better than that. But yeah, I mean, that's a challenge right there. So I'm sure they're up to it. We'll see what the results say.
The Nokomis Redskins, they have another uphill battle this year. They started 0-3 last year, battled back to make the postseason, and they find themselves right back in that spot this year, an 0-3 start again. And joining us on the phone right now is Gabe Cesaretti. And Gabe, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
We're doing well. And I guess the positive thing about starting 0-3 this year is you've been here, done that, and you know that it can be done.
Yeah, I mean, this is familiar territory for us. You know, we're disappointed this morning. You know, anytime you get beat, you're disappointed. But we're like you said, we've been here before. We're not panicking one bit at all. We I feel like we've played the two toughest teams on our schedule already. And, you know, we're a young, inexperienced group, but we're, you know, gaining valuable experience by playing these tough guys. And but, like I said, there's no panic here. We're going through the film right now, fixing the things we got to get fixed, and you know, we'll get it right.
David. Gabe, we haven't talked to you guys since week one, but last week, Seneca, hot, steamy afternoon. I thought you guys played well and basically left everything you had out there.
Yeah, we have not been displeased with the effort in all three games so far. I mean, our guys are going out and fighting and giving us everything they got, and that's all we can ask. And last week, I mean, you hate to have any excuses, but I mean, the heat did take its toll on us when we just don't have the depth, you know, to go very deep into our bench on a varsity night or day, and the heat did take its toll. You know, guys, where you could just tell we were tired in the second half last week, and it's not necessarily tired, just hot. And I'm sure you guys didn't have it any better up there in the booth last week. We don't have any air conditioning up there.
It wasn't 65 up there.
It was not a good day to play.
Yeah, Coach, you got to play on TV last night. Was that something that you had to tell your kids just to ignore, or were they just, never really aware of it from the get-go?
I mean, I'm pretty sure they were aware of it, but, we didn't really even talk about it most of the week. I mean, of course, me and some of the kids had to do, several interviews during the week for the TV station, but, I mean, I don't think that really bothered us one bit. It was a neat atmosphere to have out there. Well, the tailgate and then the TV cameras everywhere, but I don't really think that bothered us one way or the other. But it was fun, but I don't think that bothered us at all.
Gabe, coming into the year, you knew that your numbers were down, and that was going to be an issue. 3 weeks into the season, that is something that has really been a bit of an issue, has it not?
Yeah, the numbers, I mean, have not helped us at all. And we've been lucky where, we've only had a couple of injuries and, hoping to get one of them back real soon. And, like I said, we've been lucky not to have any major injuries. We get bumped and bruised up like anybody else. But, I give these kids credit. I mean, they're playing, a lot of them are playing every single play. And, even some years we play both ways a lot. But, we've got these guys on every special team and every single play they're out there. They're killing it for me, and that's, like I said, that's all I can ask. Hopefully we'll get the results we want here coming up soon. And we, like I said, we get to it doesn't get any easier this week, but we will, just like last year, we've got to find a win here early on to get us going the right way.
Coach, you've obviously, the next week's game has kind of become a bit of a rivalry in the Prairie State between you and Alton Marquette. What are the things you're going to have to do to get back on the winning track?
As long as we keep giving the effort we're giving right now, that's the first thing we got to do. I haven't seen Marquette this year. I know they have a new coach, so we're not really sure what they're going to do yet. We'll go down and watch them tonight. They play tonight on a Saturday night game, so at least we get a chance to see them live. And it's some of the little things we need to fix. Our offense is just not cohesive right now. We got a few. It's just the little things here and there, and it's not, it's some mental mistakes and some just some basic stuff we got to get fixed, which is, I'm not concerned. I mean, these kids, they work hard for us and do everything we ask of them. So, whatever we need to fix, I think we'll get fixed. And I look for a good game this week. And then, like you guys mentioned, it's kind of a rival game with Marquette. It seems like every time we've played them, it came down to the last minute. Who's going to win the game? So, we expect another barn burner this week.
That's right. Gabe, what I really want to know is, who hosted the pool party after that steamer last Saturday? There had to be some sort of water involved after that ball game.
Well, Coach Watson, he's right next door to me. He's got the pool, so we're all invited to go there every time we need to. And we made sure the cold water in the showers worked afterwards, so that was good for everybody.
Yeah, hot water not required after that game.
No, we didn't want to see any hot water, no.
Gabe, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Best of luck next week against Marquette, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Gabe Cesarady, the head coach of Nokomis. And, guys, it's amazing what a difference a week makes. You think about what it was like last night weather-wise, mm-hmm. and what it had been like the first 2 weeks. We saw Litchfield the first couple of weeks really deal with cramping issues because of the heat, and they've got a little bit of a depth issue as well. But last night, a nice cool evening across the state. So it was perfect football weather, and Litchfield got their first win of the year.
Yeah, they did, and I saw a lot of tweets throughout the evening last night about how, you know, finally football weather had arrived. So I'm sure all the players and coaches are glad that that's here.
It was welcome.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Let's run down some scores. You got the scores in front of you, David, somewhere, I do believe, as it was a busy night of football, of course. Week 3, hard to believe, a third of the season already done for high school football. And the South Central Conference has Pena sitting atop 3-0. The Sangamo Conference has North Mac sitting atop also at 3-0. Looks like we need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday, so we will do that, and we will come back with more following these messages.
Just tune in to WSMI AM 1540 around 11 o'clock.
That's right. There'll be some sort of Cardinal thing.
We'll find out what exactly is going on.
And Terry, as you will say sometimes during a high school basketball broadcast, if a game's getting away, the wheels aren't falling off, but they are getting wobbly, and that's kind of how I feel about the Cardinals right now. They've been so good all year long. Every baseball team has stretches where they don't play well.
And this is theirs.
This is theirs. Yeah. But it's not at a good time of the year. Just a couple weeks ago, and the Pirates are hanging around. They don't I mean, it's crazy to say. This time next week, the Pirates could be in first place.
Well, I like to look at it this way. Teams that run away with the division, and I'm going to tell you right now, who's leading the American League Central Division by a whole bunch?
Yeah, the Royals are in trouble.
Yeah, they're in trouble. Because they're going to be cruising in, kind of taking it easy. If you're battling all the way down to the end, and how many times we've seen the wild card teams end up World Series champions, the Cardinals, the Giants, as two most recent examples, you know, if you're battling all the way down, it's good for you. So, hey, stuff
Royals
happens.
Last year.
You know, everybody wins 50, everybody loses 50 is what you do with the other 62.
The thing that worries me about the Cardinals, though, is the offense has stunk all year. The only reason they've been as good as they've been is because they've had historically great pitching. Not good pitching or really good pitching. In the history of the game, their pitching has been as good, if not better, than anybody ever.
Sure.
I think they're worn out.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have Adam Wainwright. I think that loss is starting to show. The bullpen, they played so many close games. The back end of your bullpen is leading the league in appearances. We saw it last year. Mm-hmm. We've kind of seen it every year under Matheny, where the pitching just kind of slowly runs out of steam, and it just feels – I mean, they are getting waxed here the last week and a half. I mean, they're getting blown out.
But what they've done, they have given some time off for a couple of pitchers. Yep. And, yes, it's kind of thrown them out of whack as far as the regular schedule.
Yeah, that's kind of what started it.
But it's kind of bought them time. It's bought them a few innings down the line. And, you know, the Cardinals are a team that's not – they're not flashy.
No,
they just grind it out. And, they're going to lose some games. You're going to lose some ugly games because that's the nature of the game most of the time anymore. You know, if you're going to have a kind of a rough patch, I would say 3 or 4 weeks before the end of the season is probably a better time to have it than the last week of the season. So
true.
Not being flashy to me is – obviously, I don't want them necessarily to be flashy, but the urgency is kind of a concern right now. Because remember last year what the turning point was the trade deadline whenever Mozeliak shook things up? You can't do that this year. The waiver deadline, trade deadline, well, that's all over.
And a couple things that I've noticed here about the Cardinals. Defensively, I don't think they've been as sharp.
No.
And certainly last night, there were a couple of balls that, you know, a couple of errors on Molina. Mm-hmm. Those balls should have been caught.
Yeah.
I mean, doggone, guys.
Right. Well, the game against the Cubs that they somehow won, you got a center fielder who can't throw. Then they botch the run down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not playing good baseball right now, which happens.
Every team goes through it. Every single team goes through it.
They've had so many injuries. Yeah. And all year long, it's like, how are they doing this?
Yeah.
How are they doing this? Well, maybe the clock has struck midnight.
Well, and actually, I think one of the concerning things is the fact that they are getting those guys back, and they're not able to go on rehab assignments. So guys that are coming back from injuries, they're having to rehab at the major league level. It's hurting them.
Because there's no minor leagues team. Minor league teams playing.
Yeah, they're
anymore.
Done
Their
right
seasons
now.
Are done.
Memphis wasn't good enough to be in the postseason, I don't think. So they're not playing anymore. So, I mean, Jay's having to rehab at the major league level. Grichik and Adams are having to rehab at the major league level. I mean, and then Holiday's going to be back probably sometime within this road trip, we've heard. So.
He doesn't need a rehab assignment, though. He's a veteran.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, we at least have to see how he's going to be able to run in the outfield.
Absolutely. It just feels like the Budweiser horse wagon has turned into a pumpkin.
The Clydesdale? You
know, like, it just has that feeling that
– one of the Clydesdales has thrown a shoe.
Well, they're
Is that what we're saying?
As bad as they're playing, they're still going to make the playoffs one way or another. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not losing out on the wild card. They're just too far ahead of that. The question is whether they're going to keep the division lead or not, and we'll see if they do what the 06 team did and hung on at the very last day, or I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, for all the flack that the NL Central used to take, they used to call it the NL Comedy Central, used to get bashed, which was always unwarranted. There was
got that.
But it wasn't on the East Coast, so therefore they're just all bumps. But you look at it this year, you've got the three best teams in the National League, three of the four best teams in all of baseball in one division. I mean, the fact that the Cardinals are on pace for over 100 wins like they have been all year and have never been able to pull away just speaks to the quality of competition.
Here's what they should have done at the All-Star game, taking it strictly from the three teams that lead the Central Division, and the National League would have won.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm just telling you right now.
That's right.
Why are you forcing other teams to send people to the All-Star game? There's enough pitching and enough hitting there. You don't need these other guys. Hey,
if home field advantage is on the line,
that's right.
That's what I want.
You should have the best people.
I don't want every team represented.
Yeah. Heavens no.
No.
God, you know, come on. The Reds?
Yeah, maybe Votto.
Maybe Votto.
Well, they had a.
If he's not slamming his helmet and pushing umpires, they had himself suspended.
They had a pretty good representative in Frazier this year.
That's true. They did
because he
and he was hot at the time.
Yeah, he was red hot at the time. I think he was the only red. No, Chapman was also in there. And Chapman, honestly, Chapman's a guy I want on my All-Star team every year too.
Well, that's true.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's 105.
True, yeah.
Can't go wrong.
105 strikeouts in 50 innings. So.
As Joe Madden would say, that plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does play.
He can be on my team every year.
But you know, Cardinal fans tend to panic after a rough stretch of three or four games. Oh, my God. You know, come on.
You're right. Three or four games is one thing. Yeah. This is not three or four games, though. This is like 10 or 11. And it's
a week and a half
It's
now.
Not how they're losing. To me, it's how they're losing. Not that they're losing, but how. Their starting pitching is getting shellacked. And it could even out and plane out and be just fine, but it's not looking good right now, and all of a sudden, this suspended game against Cincinnati is huge. The Cubs swept a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah.
The Pirates won.
For the first time against Milwaukee in, like, eight games.
And if the Pirates could just beat the Reds and the Brewers, they'd be in first place, regardless of how well the Cardinals have played. They have been terrible against the awful Reds and Brewers.
Yeah, they had lost, eight in a row prior to last night against the Brewers?
Right, they're, three games out in the loss column with the Cardinals? Without taking care of business,
The
lower echelon of the league.
Gosh, don't you just love the pennant races down the stretch in September? I mean, the wild card, even though the two wild card teams are going to definitely come from the Central Division, but still, the wild card teams and you know, who's going to get in, who's going to have to pitch, who's going to have to burn their best pitcher. Yeah.
And I wonder if there will be a slight tweak in the playoff system. I would like to see it to where the top seed – plays the team with the worst record, not necessarily the wild card team. But like this year, the Cardinals are going to play the Cubs or the Pirates in the division series. See, and those record-wise, that's going to be the top two teams in the National League playing in the quarterfinal playoff round.
Divisions are crap.
They are.
Yeah.
National League, American League. 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5.
But I think right now the Mets have the worst record of all the playoff teams. That's who the Cardinals should be playing in the first round.
I think it's the Dodgers Mets have gotten hot.
Either way.
You want your best teams playing in the playoffs? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the reason they put the two wild card teams system in is to
– money.
Put more emphasis on winning the division. I mean, and to hurt the wild card. Also.
No, that's exactly right.
Personally, I'd like to see the top eight teams from each league in, and you play 4-7-game series. Now, that's a playoff.
That's a playoff. So what, Game 7 of the World Series would be sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
You start at the March 1st.
Oh, okay.
That's what the high school teams do. College teams are already playing.
I'm rooting for the Minnesota Twins to make a make a run here.
Target Field.
Game 7 World Series in Minneapolis, Minnesota
November 1st.
Commissioner Manfred has talked about cutting the season back to 154 games like it was
Never going to happen. You know why? He doesn't run the show. The owners do. Yeah. They like that, those extra games. You just start the season early. That's what you do. You do away with some of these dumb spring training games that people get bored with. You cut 2 weeks of the spring training season off. You move the season up two weeks. You got it done.
You know what's an interesting thought? When this
now, that's only if I was commissioner, with my vast experience of the being the commissioner of the National Stickball League for many years.
So. Implement that penalty hole and we're off.
You get to put the penalty hole out there, and I'm telling you right now, it changes the dimension of baseball.
This doesn't necessarily have to do with the scheduling thing, but how it has to do with like starting early and starting late. How, as of what, like the last 5 to 6 years, we've talked so much about like preserving pitchers' arms and everything. I wonder why teams don't like use the beginning of the season. Why they don't use the beginning of the season to rest those guys.
Question in the back of the room.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Tote.
You have a 40-man roster for the first month of the season as well. Well as the last month
make
of the
your,
season.
Make your
That's how you do that. Yeah. Gee, it's not very hard. This isn't, you know, sending a man to the moon, folks. This is baseball. You can control this stuff with rosters. I'm telling you, this is the way to do it. Start at March 1st, and off you go. You have a 40-man roster to start with. That's part of your spring training. You cut your roster down, and away you go.
The problem is, though, you've always got the ego of the athlete. You look at Matt Harvey. He didn't want to be skipped early in the year or go to a 6-man rotation. Didn't want it. Wasn't interested in it.
He's in trouble.
Because, you know, he's a man. Yeah. Well, now look at him. Yeah. Not so much of a man as he's going to shut himself down Strasburg style. That's going to be the second Scott Boras client now coming off Tommy John to basically tell his team, no thanks. We're good enough. We don't need to try to win the World Series this year. How's that working out for the Nationals?
6-man rotation.
Yep. The Mets tried that. Harvey was against it. He basically blocked them from doing it. And now he's got this innings limit at 180, which he's nearing on, and he's going to hit that before the postseason. So, goodness gracious.
Actually,
can you imagine? The Cardinals would never find themselves in a situation like this.
And the Mets are this is obviously different than the Nationals, because the Nationals chose to shut Strasburg down. I think the Mets, they actively want Harvey to pitch and pitch in the postseason, but Boras and Harvey are the ones that are saying, let's step back.
Yeah, a few big differences. The Nationals knew about it all year.
Yeah.
Talked about it in spring training, chose to do nothing, and then were surprised. And they expected it to be good, and then were surprised when they got to September, like, uh-oh, we got a problem. So that's one of the most mismanaged situations probably in the history of sport, when you figure that Washington's probably never going to win a World Series. That was their best chance, and they shut him down. I mean, that's going to look so bad with the more time that passes. And for the Mets, the fact that it's in New York, boy, has it amplified this. But it sounds like Harvey and his agent Boras just kind of came up with this a few weeks ago. I didn't get the impression the Mets knew about this in April.
I think the Harvey and Boras may have known about it the whole time.
They knew about it. They didn't tell the Mets.
They didn't tell the Mets.
What do they need
the
to
Mets
know?
May have just found
They're
out.
They're just signing the checks. Yeah. They don't need to know all the information.
Yeah. Harvey has looked terrible in this whole situation.
Looked awful.
Because he's been a flip-flopper in his opinion. Because then he was like, I'm going to pitch in October. Well, you know, I've consulted with my doctors and my agent. We really should stick at 100. No, I think I want to pitch in October.
You want to be the king of New York.
Yeah.
It has its pitfalls. And he has fell into a big one right now.
Batman would have never refused to pitch in October.
You're right. He wants to be the Dark Knight. That's
what
he says. Self-proclaimed.
That's right.
Yeah, Batman wouldn't have left him hanging.
No, he wouldn't have. Batman would have been out there pitching.
He's got no cartilage in his knees.
Exactly.
And he's still out there. By golly.
He broke his back.
Didn't stop him.
Nope.
He wasn't on no innings limit. And, you know, I heard someone bring up a point. I think it was on the MLB Network, and it's a very interesting point. Why is it even an innings limit coming off surgery? It should be a pitch limit.
Yeah.
Because not all innings.
There are stressful innings, and then there are innings where you're cruising by. Like Lester at 105 pitches on a – what was it, Wednesday, when he was cruising along. Could have kept going, too. Yeah.
I love Pedro. I'm going to give
teachers,
you a Pedro stroke jersey.
Doctors, farmers, radio broadcasters, people who work at the local grocery stores, retail stores, and they all go to work some days when they don't feel 100%, but you have baseball players. Oh, well, you know, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Oh, darn. And, you know, and I usually try to stick up for baseball players because it's a very highly skilled sport and it takes a very special, highly set of skills to compete at a high level. But sometimes they're just wusses.
No, you're exactly. The modern-day pitcher.
They just wusses, you know. They just really are.
They've been handled soft, and look what you get.
Yeah. I'm telling you, start March 1st. You want to toughen them up, by God, there you go.
If the Mets make the playoffs and Matt Harvey doesn't pitch, don't they have to trade him? He can't go back to New York if he does. If
there
he refuses
has
the
been
pitch,
and if you're worried about starting March 1st, play some of the games on your you know, your spring training camps and some of the bigger stadiums down in the southern part, you know, put them on the road someplace, and maybe in a dome stadium in New Orleans or whatever. I don't know. There's all sorts of different options. A lot of other sports are doing, you know, regular season games outside of the normal realm of stadiums. So
go play in Japan, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic for a couple series.
Cuba.
You don't think that would draw a crowd?
Let's go play baseball.
Can't help. I mean, not that they're hurting over in those countries.
I'm just saying. Wouldn't
hurt.
So when Rob's done, I'm ready.
You're in the bullpen.
I'm just telling you.
Getting warmed up.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Got ideas, man. And I think the penalty hole time is coming. It's coming. Yeah.
They need it. It's well overdue.
There has actually been talk about trading Harvey after the season from the Mets.
Well, that's just the Mets media. Yeah. They don't have anything else to write about. We're going to trade this guy now.
They can get it done, though.
The pitching in their system is so deep that they can afford it. I mean, DeGrom looks like the ace of their staff right now. Syndergaard is really good. They've got Steven Matz, if he comes back from the shoulder injury healthy, which he's back now, but we'll see what he's like.
But as Cardinal fans will tell you, you never have enough pitching. Never, ever.
And they've got it. I mean, they are so deep in the minor leagues pitching.
They will not trade Matt Harvey unless he refuses to pitch in the playoffs and they deem him to be basically toxic to the fan base and they can't bring him. That's the only – because, I mean, talent-wise, you don't just get rid of Matt Harvey because you're not going to get equal value in return. But if he's not going to pitch in the playoffs, he's not much use to you.
You could swindle a team. There are some dumb GMs out there.
Well, there's more than one. More than one.
There's some pretty foolish GMs out there.
We'll have the Cardinals on the radio this morning, 11-10-ish. They've got a suspended game to finish. I think they're in the top of the eighth, tied at 2 with Cincinnati.
Runner on first and nobody out. That's Pete Cosma on first. He's pinch running for Peralta. So that's another thing. Well, Peralta's no longer in the game.
Beautiful. Not surprising. But think about a big league manager and how they always talk about you got to leave the game with the stadium when you go home. Well, you can't do it if the game's not over. You think Mike Matheny slept at all last night? I mean, how many times? All right, should we sacrifice here to start the eighth inning? Should we not? Should we hit away? Should we hit and run? What should we do? Oh, my goodness.
It's almost like they've slept at the ballpark.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, you're going. Why waste the time of going to the hotel? You know?
They always say that when you go to a major league game, you might see something you never saw before. I mean, this has happened before, but it's odd.
Maybe that's how you break a slump. Break a slump by sleeping at the ballpark.
I wonder how that works for the ticket holders. Like, if you had a ticket to last night's game, do you get to go back today and watch the conclusion? Are they going to clear the stadium out and then bring in today's ticket holders? Or if you
What were you saying?
Said maybe that, you know, since they started, granted this game could go a little bit longer, but since they started in the eighth inning, maybe they would just take like a 20-minute break between games and play the –
And granted, they're Reds fans, so they could fit all the fans from last night and all the fans today. They could fit them all in the stadium and still have room to spare.
There were a lot of fans dressed up as empty seats last night.
It tends to happen a lot there.
And this isn't the only doubleheader going on today because the Blue Jays and Yankees are playing. That's actually old-fashioned doubleheader. You pay for one game, you get both of them.
Hey. You want to talk? Forget about starting the season in March. Sunday doubleheaders.
Well,
that's how you do it.
Sunday doubleheaders, and everybody has Monday off.
Exactly.
Travel.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
They could actually get away with Mondays and Thursdays both being off days, getaway days. And or they could do Mondays off, and you can't play a night game on Thursday.
Have to play on Memorial Day, and you have to play on Labor Day.
Yes. Okay. Then you can mandate those Thursdays off those weeks.
Yeah. See,
why is the commissioner not listening?
It wasn't that hard. It didn't even take that long. Like 5 minutes.
We're three sports guys sitting in the middle of a cornfield, okay? We've got this figured out.
That's right. Up next, world peace. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Now with the plan for world peace, here's Tim and Dave.
Oh, wait, what? I'm not ready.
You guys weren't ready for that?
I'm going to need a few more moments.
Just a few more? Okay.
Turns out that's a complicated issue. A lot of moving parts involved in that one.
I've got some breaking news for you. Cody Stanley has been suspended for 80 games.
Who's that?
Well, okay. We'll move on then.
No, seriously, who is that?
He's the Cardinals. Well, he was the Cardinals' third catcher right now. Career minor leaguer. You know, there was a big story about him being this scrappy little player who's fought his way back to the major leagues. And it turns out he tested positive for poor performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay, so he's not exactly...
For the second time in his career.
Oh, so he's not Bo Hart scrappy.
No. Got suspended for 50 back in 2012. Now he's out for 80.
Mm.
So,
how stupid do you have to be?
He was never going to make the big leagues. He wanted to get there so bad.
And there, you know, there's so much money involved and all that. You know, I'm sure they're like, I gotta, you know, gotta try to make it. But come on, man.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So the next time that he does it, and he will do it again, he'll be banned for life.
Is it, or is it a full season?
It's a lifetime ban.
Is it?
Third time offense is a lifetime ban.
Okay. Seems like a huge step.
I'm pretty sure that's how it is.
Okay. I don't know. It used to. I think the third. Maybe it was how it used to be. The third one was 162 games.
Was that is that the minor? The minor league and the major league policy are the same.
I don't know though because he was in the major league. So I mean, he was in major leagues right now. Well, yeah, barely.
He was eating the major league buffet. That's about it.
He was on the roster, so he was on the active roster. So
he was a big leaguer then.
Yeah, I think it's actually the same. I think it's the same. 50 for first suspension, 80 for the second, and whatever 162 or banned for life in the third.
Okay, let's transition to something I actually care about talking. That is Litchfield Football with Pat Wrench joining us on the phone. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. The first win of the year last night, and you guys had been close the first couple of weeks, so it had to feel really nice to get that W.
Yeah, I think it always feels great, but I think you're right. You know, our boys have been playing well and playing hard, and you know, I think the same can be said for practice. They've really been working hard, and it was nice to see them go out and kind of put it all together and come out with a win.
Now, we were following your game on Twitter last night. We weren't getting extremely active updates. Did you guys go for two to win the game last night?
We did. However, there were probably two more drives after that.
Okay.
They had a chance to go down and you know, take the lead or win the game. We came up with a turnover and late, you know, deep in the territory, came up with a fumble recovery, and then we kind of ran out some clock, punted, and they had, you know, two more Hail Mary type plays. But yeah, the going for two was a big move, and the boys made it look like the right decision.
Pat, as the head coach, how far in advance are you thinking, okay, if we score here, we're going to go for two? Do you think about that before the drive starts, or is that something that after you score the touchdown you think about?
You know, I think, you know, to take the easy answer, I think it probably depends. But I can tell you last night that was not planned ahead. But, man, when you see the way your boys are fighting and you feel – you believe that, hey, we've got the momentum here, you know, for a cliche saying, you know, we've got them on their heels. You know, that was a chance that we felt like, hey, you know what, instead of just being happy with, okay, now we've tied the game, let's hope they don't score again, it was, hey, we're rolling right now, and let's take the fight to them and see how they respond. And, you know, I think our boys are pretty pumped up to be able to go for the win. And of course, then that gives you another boost of momentum there to not just tie the game, but to take the lead. And now all we need is a stop. You know, it was exciting. So,
Coach, the first couple of games of your season, you've dealt with a lot of cramping issues. Last night, significantly better and cooler weather. How did you come out health-wise, and were there any other injuries not related to cramps or anything in last night's game?
Yeah, no cramps. So that was a nice turn of events there. We had a little bit of bumps and bruises and, you know, some guys that we're going to kind of wait and see over the next couple of days how those heal up, but nothing disastrous that we know of so far, and just guys kind of, I think Trevor Gagey, sophomore, came out late with a leg injury, but he was up moving around, walking on it a little bit, so hopeful that he'll be back and ready to go.
And Pat, coming up next week, you've got Staunton on the road. The Bulldogs 0-3, and they've kind of gotten handled the first 3 weeks, but in a lot of ways that makes them dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be hungry. And, you know, I know that I think they're kind of in a boat where they've been doing some good things. They're just trying to put it all together. I know defensively they've done some really nice things and really made some teams earn the points that they've had to put up. And, you know, and then offensively, I think that they've shown that they can hit the big plays. I think they're eager to go out and show that they can put together a complete game. And so they're going to be fired up. And I think it's their homecoming, if I heard that right. So, of course, you know, the atmosphere is going to be electric and the Staunton crowd is going to be fired up. And So we're going to have to be ready to play.
It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have it on the radio next Friday night. Pat, congratulations on the win last night, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Pat Rentz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and a football coach always feels a little better on Saturday morning after
but
Friday night win.
He's right about Staunton.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
In being, this could be a dangerous, dangerous ball game.
They're caged up.
They are. They are. The Dogs are pretty chomping at the bit, so to speak.
The Staunton Litchfield game has been one of those, has become one of those games where you kind of throw out the records and everything, and that it's become such a rivalry over the years. Obviously, not whenever Staunton was in the Prairie State, but I mean, those two teams, it just, it doesn't seem to matter how good or bad one of those teams is. It's always a brutal game.
Terry, to borrow one of your lines, the football season through 3 weeks is wild, woolly, and full of fleas.
And it's, gosh, it's a third over already.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
My gosh.
Thanks to all of our area coaches for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday. We'll have Cardinal Baseball in a little over an hour from now on AM 1540. Coming up next here on FM 106, Fighting Illini football as they will host Western Illinois. For T-Tote, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.